Hello, everyone. Jeremy Johnson and
Mike Santos. On today's show, we're going to talk about what you should be asking if you come across a client that's turning 65.
The number one question. Excuse me. The number one question.
When you turn 65.
Exactly.
I don't think we can ask that, Mikey. Please don't let Sandra see this. Please don't let Sandra see
this. He loves Sandra.
That's a woman I love to hate.
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions when people are turning 65. Is, I mean, they're confused because most of the people that are turning 65 have never turned 65 before.
Oh, absolutely. It's uncharted waters for sure.
Yeah. I mean, they may have had some help from, you know, husband, wife, hairdresser, barber, friends, you know, kids, yeah. Somebody that's been in the industry. Y'all love this. Somebody was in the industry. I was in the industry 40 years ago. I'm like, man, you know how much has changed
a lot.
40 years? Was Medicare even a thing 40 years ago?
Probably.
When was Medicare signed into law?
1969.
Are you sure about that?
Yes, I am sure.
You want to bet something on it?
Yeah.
What are we betting?
I don't know. I guess lunch.
Ooh. All right, let's take a quick poll.
And then who signed it into law?
Yeah, well, who got the first card?
Well, Lyndon B. Johnson.
No.
President Lyndon.
I don't know. That was so long ago, I forgot.
He just lost lunch anyway.
But it was 1965. So,
okay. Yeah. Is it? All right. Well, we'll look at
Hey, Siri. When was Medicare signed into law?
President Lyndon B. Johnson signed Medicare into law.
Oh, okay. I thought it was 1969.
This answer is from MedicareResources.org. Yep.
Now, let's go back to something else. Who got first card?
I was right. Lyndon B. Johnson got the card.
Ah, who got the first card?
Lyndon B. Johnson.
Hey, Siri. I think it was Truman. Hey, Siri.
Truman.
Who received the first Medicare card?
Okay. I found this on the web for Hey, Siri, who received the first Medicare card. Check it out.
Yeah, Truman.
Said, thanks, Truman.
Yeah, they got the first card. All right, look at my card. Nobody cares if you got the answer right, okay? Truman did something about it. So,
but he didn't get the first card, I'll tell you that.
All right, the moral of the story is don't test Mikey on Medicare dollars.
There you go.
So there are a lot of questions that people ask when they turn 65. And, you know, it's kind of the same thing over and over and over again. Mikey, what is the difference between Medicare? I'm sorry, not what's the difference of. What should somebody do when they first turn 65, besides call me?
Well, they want to know if they need to retire or not. That's one question. And then, you know, do they get health insurance, I think? Because some people may know. Some people may not know anything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't want to make it too elementary on them. But you also don't want to miss something that we would think is completely simple because, I mean, literally we go through hundreds of billions of hours a year in certs and certifications and training that what we may think is common knowledge actually isn't. It's just something it's like math.
Right.
Like, who knows math?
That's right.
So we may think it's goofy knowledge or common everyday knowledge, but your person that you're speaking with may not even have a clue. So do I have to be 65 to get Medicare?
For most cases, the general population, yes, but there are special instances that you can be under 65 and get Medicare. But there are a couple of things that you have to requirements that you have to meet in order to do that.
Got it. So what if I'm still working, but my company is forcing me off of my group insurance? Can I get Medicare even though I'm still working?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh,
yes,
okay. You can. So what if I'm 62 and want my Medicare? Can I get it?
Unless you have a qualifying disability. The only thing you can do at 62 is pull your retirement, your Social Security at that time. The first time you can start doing that.
Okay. How do I even sign up for Medicare?
Well, that's great. You call trusted senior specialists and we can get you started on exactly what you need to do to sign up for Medicare. And it's very, very simple. If you haven't applied at all, we can help you apply online. And that's going through Social Security website.
Mm-hmm. SSA.gov.
SSA.gov. And then you put that I want my retirement benefits.
That'll
get started. But there's also a selection, as you said earlier, what if I'm still working and I want to continue to work?
Mm-hmm.
You can apply for Medicare only.
That's correct. What if I'm 65 and want my Social Security benefits and want to keep working. Is that possible?
Depends how much you're working, but again, every situation there is a little, you have to be a very part-time, right?
I believe right, yeah. When it comes to money, y'all, 20 years of writing Medicare stuff, when it came to the money side of it, that's what SSA is in place for. Right. That's what CFPs are in place for. A couple of my business relationships are with CFPs. If they answer the money part and send the Medicare, their insurance or their ancillary products over to me, because I mean, that's what E&O was designed for.
Is what is E&O, by the way?
Errors and omissions insurance. Okay. That means that is your professional liability insurance.
It's insurance for the insurance agent, right?
It absolutely. Got to have it. I mean, yeah. Oh my gosh. I mean, the damages are not cheap when it comes to screwing somebody's insurance or giving them wrong information. They sue. And you want to pay that out of your hard-earned renewals, right, or do you want your insurance coverage to...
So errors and omissions, kind of go into that a little bit real quick.
Okay.
So error.
I hope you never have to use it.
Well, right.
We don't even want to talk about it. Right. It's like a bad juju.
Right.
But if you did have to use it, what would you
question? I'm assuming it's error and omissions. It's either you get in trouble because you committed an error.
Right.
Or you omitted something very important that may have harmed the client.
Absolutely. Some form or another. Absolutely. As long as it's not a material fact, right? You just blatantly lied about something, and it's documented and proven, then your errors and omissions will kick in. It's the same thing that doctors, lawyers, teachers, CPAs, they all cover professional E&O insurance. And while it's not a large expense, well, it's like $500, $550 a year.
Right.
As one of our agents, we actually cover that for you.
That's right. Have all your contracts with trusted senior specialists. We will cover you with our errors and omissions group coverage.
You know, when I was an independent agent out and, you know, dangling by myself in the field trying to figure this all out, because y'all, 17 years ago when I went independent, there weren't podcasts like the internet. Al Gore had barely invented the internet. I mean, it was there. It just wasn't like very trustworthy. So I just had to kind of figure it out. When I found out that I had to, like, I sent my first contract and I was like, please provide a copy of your E&O. And I'm like, what did I hit that on keyboard? Or is that like a two-factor authentication thing? What is, you know, E plus O or 2 + 2? What are they, you know,
right,
for? So I didn't know what it was. And for my now parent company, Trusted Senior Specialist, to come through and say, hey, now I'm going to give you these amazing contracts, very competitive, and, you know, you just go do what you do. We're also going to cover your errors and omissions, because I had no idea what it meant or where to find it. I Googled E&O, and you don't want to know what popped up on the screen. But now that my company offers it, and we offer it as a benefit to be a partner of ours, pretty cool.
Right.
Pretty cool thing.
Of course, it's all to protect you. You know, when you're talking to your clients, you know, you're new to the Medicare market, and, you know, you want to do everything right. You know, there's a lot of compliance involved, so... The seniors are protected, you're protected, but it's up to us agents to be able to understand and know our products and know the market, and to be able to have a very intelligent conversation as to how you're going to help this person that's turning 65 that has no clue as to what they're getting into, and because they've been getting all this stuff about Medicare. A lot of folks, even when they turn 64, they're already getting Medicare. So even way before they turn 64, they're getting stuff from AARP. You know, they're targeting them at 55. But then once you get closer to 65, you're getting bombarded by a lot of different medias, like mail, the internet, the TV, the telephone, maybe a text message. Maybe you forgot you opted into something because you wanted information, and now they're sending you stuff via text. So this is very overwhelming when someone gets bombarded by all different avenues of communication.
You know that if you use, like I used for the longest time, GoodRx,
right,
and you know that is basically a data mining operation for folks that for insurance purposes. You know, you go in, get this amazing discount, but at what cost? Because when you start turning 65 or around an annual enrollment period, your information is in the clearinghouse, and they start calling left and right and left and right and left and right. Again, so yeah. Right to left.
So how do we get started? How, aside from asking them, you know, are they going to retire or yep, what do they do? You know, how else would you lead them or guide them?
So if you're turning 65 and we come in contact with each other and you say, Jeremy, I'm turning 65, but I still have group coverage. You know, this is kind of a guidance thing because in a lot of cases, they won't need to make a change,
right?
Until they decide to leave, retire, get fired, whatever the case is. But as I have done very successfully over the last 20 years, is help open that conversation and moving them off. Look, group plan is nothing really special behind it outside of you've had it for 10, 15, 20, you know, 175 years, however long you've been with the company. And it's your insurance. Makes you feel warm and fuzzy. You may have your family on there as well. And that's a hard one to overcome. But if I'm working with Mike Santos and he's turning 65, and he's not sure if he wants to make that change or not. Well, I'm not going to force him to, but I am going to ask him a handful of very pertinent questions. The first one is, what happens when you turn 65? Because here's the thing. Companies don't have to give you the insurance.
Right.
They don't have to. Now, it doesn't behoove them not to. Because they, a lot of companies use it as a recruiting tool or a retention tool because they offer great benefits. But at what cost? So, you know, I'm just going to kind of roll throw it out there. Is Mike, how much are you paying for your health insurance to work? You've told me that you want to stay on your group policy or you're not sure. My question to you is, how much are you paying on that?
Right now, I'm just going to give you the whole number.
Okay.
And because it's probably more in tune to someone who is 65. I'm going to say $160 every 2 weeks.
So what he just said is very, very important. Because he told me it's every 2 weeks, but a lot of people will throw out there what they see as the debit on their check stub. In his case, it'd be $160, not realizing that that's every pay period. Right. So if he's paid every $320 a month, that's correct. $320. Well, that's a much larger number. Some would say even double of the 160 that you told me. Now, I'm going to take it one step further and say, how much is your deductible under that plan?
$2,000.
$2,000. Here's where a lot of agents miss that opportunity. Is they say, $2,000 is not that much. Well, because it's not that much.
Right.
Okay, we create our income. But as someone that's turning 65 and maybe looking at limited income coming outside of pension or retirement or, you know, savings, $2,000 is a lot of money because you got to satisfy the deductible before the plan starts to pay. So here's how I do it. I take the yearly premium, the monthly premium. Hang on. I'm going to find a calculator. Yeah, there it is. Okay. $320 a month times 12. That's $3,840. Now, that's a big number. I'm a big fan of quantifying numbers. $3,840 plus how much you tell me your deductible was?
$2,000.
$2,000. Folks, that's $5,840 that Mike Santos is going to spend over the cost of his health care just in premiums and deductibles before the plan starts to pay. Now,
and then there's still copays and co-insurance.
Exactly.
After all that,
you satisfy the $2,000, and then what is your copay for a primary care doctor?
I believe PCP. I believe is $30.
$30. Yeah. Wow. And then, specialist is probably
50. Okay. 55.
Hospitalization
like half. Probably. No, I think 50% co-insurance, something like that. Maybe. I don't know. That's a group plan, but you know, group plans just varies, right? So
what he's got to satisfy for the
let's look at the card, but go ahead.
Basics outlay for premiums and deductibles is $5,840, and then he's got to tack on extra charges for his medical care. Doctors, hospitals, prescriptions, et cetera, et cetera. So let's take that same $5,840 and let's look at it against Medicare. If I can show my face here. What's the new premium? $174 a month for Part B. And let's just say Mike Santos is a 65-year-old female. a plan G, because that's the only thing I'm going to recommend him. Fight me all you want on it. G is the only thing to be. G is for the $174 plus $150 for his plan G. Let's throw in another $21.40 for my favorite Part D plan. and let's hit him at $59 for his dental plan. That's $404 a month times 12, $5,252, right? Now I want to add in my plan G. I'm sorry, the Medicare Part B deductible at, what is it, 230?
No, I think it went up to 243 now.
243?
Yeah, something like that.
Mikey's paying $5,495, but here's the kicker. That includes his dental. That includes his Part D. That includes the Medicare Part B premium. That includes the Med Sub G is for the, and he's coming out at the minimum, let's just round up, say $5,500, so $300, $400 ahead, and then all of those copays that he's got in that group plan. That's included. There, I mean, once you satisfy the deductible, you don't have any other thing coming due for your hospital or medical insurance behind that. So,
but what was if I don't want the MedSub? I want. What other options are there?
Well, you got a Medicare Part C plan.
Okay.
Okay. If you want to be kind of locked into networks, but get a host of extra benefits, I mean, you can save a ton of cash because the premiums. The other thing, as you know, is zero to low monthly premium.
Right.
I mean, depending on where you live, we're in Houston, in case you forgot. We've got a host, I mean, a ton of plans available for $0. Some of those plans, you don't need, some of those HMO plans, you don't have to have a referral to see your doctor. That's the biggest complaint behind an HMO is I got to ask Mother May I to my doctor to go see my favorite cardiologist. And if they're not in that doctor's pod, I'm out. Right. I'm out of luck on that. Well, one of these plans, you can see any doctor as long as they're in the network is an HMO, so the cost is still way down there. But you don't have to have permission, or Mother May I, as one of my clients like to say, to go see those doctors.
Right, so that's important. So after you break down, obviously, this is a scenario where we're talking about, you know, I have group insurance and I'm getting to that Medicare age. So he's breaking down the cost of what I'm currently paying to compared to what I can have out there and the other options. And of course, the next important question you would ask that he was just talking about was doctors, right? You were talking about doctors, you know, the MedSup, you can go any doctor in the hospital that accepts Medicare. But then you talked about HMOs where it's a group of doctors that you have to go see that you can go outside the network or any doctor in the hospital that accepts Medicare. So that's another important question you want to ask your client is, do you really need to see these doctors? Because if they're looking to save money, because, you know, we saw the example that he gave with the Plan G and the dental plan and the Part D plan. That's really great because you're probably, you know, people who are working and have health group health coverage are used to paying monthly premiums. You know, someone who has on a fixed income, you know, they may want to go a different route where they're saving a little bit more money, probably half of that cost. And the dental vision and hearing is included in the Part C plans. But, of course, you got to look at, okay, does my doctor take this plan? I need to see this doctor because this doctor saved my life, or it's a specialist. Mm-hmm. A lot of them comes down to a specialist, a cardiovascular specialist, a neurologist, or whatever the case may be where they saved my life or they helped me get back to where I needed to be. They don't want to lose those specialists. So they may change their primary care doctor, but they want to keep the specialist or vice versa, right? They're looking to keep their primary care because they've done such a great job of maintaining them and helping those preventative services. But so that, yeah, so that's really good. So great question to ask, right? You know, what doctors do you see? And then you talked about medications as well.
Right.
Medications aren't, they're not cheap.
Golly, they're not. It's and then a whole dreaded donut hole and, you know, it's supposed to close by 2020. And now here we are, 2024, still open. Yeah. Positive strides are being made. It's like news comes out. It's like, do I believe this or do I not believe this? It's almost kind of, and obviously it's election year. So
right.
No telling what's about to come out. I tend not to keep up with the news, but I am going to start watching it as of maybe tomorrow.
Right. It is an election year. So things do, they do sometimes try not to mess too much on the Medicare side because they know that demographic is the one that actually goes out to the polls and actually votes the most.
Absolutely.
And of course, you know, they don't want to mess with their constituents and their benefits, right?
Heaven forbid they mess with their constituents and have to go out and, you know, get a real job.
That's right.
So I try to keep politics out of this.
I know.
Sorry. You know, all sorts. I'm not a very political person, but it's just like you get that one hot topic and
right.
It's like, you know, it's like they're like dogs, man. They can smell the fear.
Yeah.
so So, Mikey, we live in a world of terms. MA, MAPD, MA only, PDP, SEP, OEP, AEP, LIS. They all make you want
to... QMB, anyway, QI1.
They all make you want to say WTH, like, what the heck?
Yeah.
So, what is the difference between MA and MS? And we're not talking about, you know, health illnesses, but... as far as the insurance goes.
Yeah, Medicare Advantage and Medicare Supplement.
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly. I mean, what's their... They both start with Medicare, right?
They both require you to have original Medicare to get into them.
Well, but why? Like, what is the difference? Why would I choose Medicare Supplement over Medicare Advantage?
Well, we just explained it. The Medicare Supplement, you have the freedom to... you're paying monthly premiums and you have no co-pays or co-insurances after you meet that small deductible on the Plan G. It goes back to covering like a true Plan F, like that's the old Cadillac plan that's been discontinued or kind of gone away for new people. But you have the freedom to go to any doctor, any hospital, you know, no matter where you are. And then the MA, you know, you're kind of restricted to a network of doctors, but you know exactly how much you're going to pay when you go see the doctor, when you go see your specialist, when you go into the admitted to the hospital as an inpatient. You know exactly how much you're going to pay. And you'll know exactly how much you'll pay for the whole year if you hit that maximum out of pocket.
Wouldn't you agree, or would you agree? I like the wouldn't you because it puts you in a firm yes, because I'm going to ask you questions that I know is going to lead to a yes. Would you agree that a Medicare Advantage is better than a Medicare Supplement?
Depending on the situation of the client, the needs of the client. You know, it's just depends. Everyone has a different situation, you know, based on their health. And, you know, and of course, during turning 65, you know, a Med Sup becomes guaranteed issue.
Right.
Now, someone who is past age 65, they may have to ask, they may have to go through underwriting. They may have to answer some health questions. So,
could be detrimental.
Yeah, it could be. And if they have some ailments that are not going to be accepted by the Medicare supplement company, or they're going to get a rate increase, you know, that $108 goes up to $210, you know, that puts them in a certain predicament for their income.
Wow.
So therefore, someone who's sick, you may want to go to a Medicare Advantage side because there really are no health questions anymore.
Right.
You know, do you have parts, Medicare's part A and B, and do you live in the service area? They got rid of the end-stage renal disease question many years ago, which was the only health question they would ask.
Yep.
Is that, do you have end-stage renal disease? If you said yes, you couldn't enroll into a Medicare Part C plan or Medicare Advantage plan. And so the Med Sup was more suitable for you, right? If you could afford premium.
Big time.
Yeah, that's, exactly.
Yeah. I just kind of have to wonder why they're called Medicare Advantage plans. I mean, I've had this question asked multiple times. What makes them Advantage plans?
I'd say the reason why they call it Advantage plans is because they include more benefits, not just the traditional health benefits, your preventative services, your doctor, your hospital stays, your specialist. I think a lot of them include benefits like transportation. If you can't drive yourself into the to your doctor's appointment and or the pharmacy, you have transportation provided by the plan. That's included at no extra cost. You also have dental benefits. It may not
that's a big one.
A lot of a big dental amount, but you'll have a decent amount where you can get cleanings and, you know, restoratives done, you know, preventative services. Some may include comprehensive, where they go a little more in depth into more technical procedures, but you also have a maximum benefit up to a couple thousand bucks here or there. And then you have the vision, and then you have hearing. You know, I'm wearing glasses. You know, when I get older, I want a plan that still covers my vision.
They make notes for when you turn 65. I know you want glasses.
And then you have the hearing, so you might need a hearing aid here or there. You know, you'll get some money towards that. So you know, I think that's an advantage, and includes prescription drug.
Man, that's amazing. You know, I hit all the boxes there. Yeah. I need eyes, ears, and drugs, prescription drugs, just to go because. I mean, the MedSup doesn't cover prescription drugs because MedSups only cover secondary and Medicare.
That's
Medicare has never made sense to me why they didn't cover extra stuff like dental, visions. Like, you're getting older. Shouldn't we be covering this much needed stuff?
Right.
But again, prescription drugs, if that's the way I wanted to go, I at least have to go with a Part D plan and go from there. I still travel like frequently. I was in New York just a couple of months ago. And just got back from Austin from an event. And Mikey, I know you travel a lot as well, sometimes with me, sometimes I don't know who this guy is. Which I really think we should hit the road and do these maybe from Vegas or somewhere.
Absolutely.
We might not come back. I mean, that's okay. We've imparted lots of wisdom on you. Which one would I want as a frequent traveler?
Probably a Metsa. But, you know, I know there's some, not every carrier on the Medicare Advantage side does this, but some will have what they call a passport kind of option or feature, another advantage, right? But not all of them have it where, you know, if you're traveling to a certain place where they have coverage, you're just letting them know, hey, I'm traveling here. You know, you have to, it doesn't happen automatically. You have to let the carrier know. Again, not every carrier offers it. It was kind of like an added benefit to see, you know, how it would be utilized if they did have members that did travel a lot. But the MedSub is probably the best way to go. No questions asked, as long as wherever you're going to somewhere or a doctor, seeing a doctor or a hospital that accepts Medicare, you should be fine.
I've noticed a lot of agents out in the Medicare space are starting to push other plans, like a Plan N. I've never been a big fan of Plan Ns because while, you know, Plan G is the new version of the old Plan F, to where it covers everything that original Medicare does, coinsurance, copays, deductibles, doesn't cover anything extra because it's just secondary to Medicare. But I did have to satisfy the Part B deductible first.
Right.
So Plan N is kind of the same thing. You got to satisfy. You just have small copays when you utilize services. Right. Primary care doctor, emergency room. What is one of the biggest things that I don't want in of where I would prefer a Plan G over a Plan N? I got something like I hear it called multiple things. There's one correct answer. Is it access charges or excess charges?
Medicare excess charges.
Excess charges.
Excess.
So
the doctors are charging about 15% more over the Medicare allowable amount, right?
So in other words, you could be a kind-hearted, decent doctor and accept whatever Medicare reimburses as payment full. I, on the other hand, want every dime to pay my medical school back. I could charge an additional 15%. Plan N doesn't cover that.
That's right.
What do you know what the premium difference is between the two, Plan N and a G?
Probably a couple dollars.
It's about 20 to 30.
20, 30.
When you look at the potential exposure you have, you know how much I love that word exposure.
Exposure.
So it's not worth the $30 to me. And you can spin it whichever way you want to. Like, I live in a state that doesn't allow excess charges.
Right, right.
Kudos. Great job. I'm very proud of you. However, you can't guarantee me that your client isn't going to come down with a devastating illness in a different state. You know, over the summer, Mikey, I left to go home to a funeral in South Louisiana. I wound up spending 4 days in the hospital.
I remember.
You know, $120,000, you never called me. But $125,000 hospital bill later, if none of those doctors accepted Medicare, I would be charged an additional 15% on top of that. So why leave that exposure up to your client? People buy based on their perception of value. I know everybody in this room, plus most of you out there that watches this go back and forth every week, every other week. Hear me say that. People buy based on their perception of value. If you make it valuable enough, it doesn't matter the cost that they're going to afford. They'll come up with the extra $20 a month to do it. So that's about all the time we have today. I know there's a couple of other questions that you may want covered. Please, y'all, write into us, email us, send us a text message or whatever. Tell us what you'd like to hear about, because we're going to keep this thing going until we get sick of each other, which was last week. but we haven't brought it in public yet. Let us know what you want to hear. There's topics you want covered.
That's right.
Or we're going to start releasing some individual trainings. We've been talking about the tools, Medicare Center, Lead Center, all the kind of centers that we have available to us. We're going to start doing some individual trainings on that as well. And stay tuned for our new Legacy Safeguard
We're
going to be putting out there. Mikey and I have both been kind of working through the material, working through the podcast. Other than that, any parting words, wisdom?
No, everything was really great. And yeah, plenty more questions that you need to be asking your clients. And we'll go over those on our next podcast. But thanks for joining us. Y'all have a great day.
Absolutely. Remember to sell it every day.